Good morning and welcome back to the Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's done with no manipulation. It means we don't try to coerce you into doing anything. We're not trying to sell you something. We certainly don't have anything for you to join. This show is about accurate information, simply put. Accurate information, not human speculation, accurate information. Hopefully that information will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And as a free American, you have the privacy to orient and adjust to that plan if you'd like to do so. But my job is not to motivate you, not to inspire you, but simply to give you the information. That's God the Holy Spirit's job. Yes, it is a show about the Bible, but no ranting and no raving, no wild preaching and no jumping up and down, just information. And if you have listened to the Flatline in the past, you know we've been studying about a crisis in leadership. That's very important in these days and times that we live in because everybody is looking for a great leader. And sometimes people say, well, it's the Democrats that can lead us into the land of prosperity and hope and dreams. And some people say, well, it's the Republicans. And some people say, it's the independents. But the Bible says, cursed is the man who trusteth in man. And we know from the Word of God that no one individual is the solution. What we're looking for in this country are people just like you that are mature believers. People who have a mature soul. Christians that know how to trust God. And those type of people are the people that can deliver this land. Because as goes your spiritual life, so goes the future of your nation. You've heard 2 Chronicles 7:14 quoted many, many times where it says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear their prayer and heal their land. And it's always linked up to my people. And I firmly believe that as goes the spiritual life of the individual believer in America, so goes the history of the United States. And so my prayer is that you can be the leader that God is looking for. That you can be the invisible hero that can change the course of history. That you can have the invisible impact in your family and in your nation by glorifying Jesus Christ to the maximum through your life. You will be that person. We have been studying in the life of Moses, and we've seen how God called Moses a known murderer, someone convicted for murder. Well, he wasn't convicted. He escaped before they could arrest him, but there definitely was a warrant out for his arrest. And how God used this man, Moses, who fled out of Egypt after murdering an Egyptian, and fled into the backsides of the Midian desert, the Midianite desert there, where he married a Midianite priest's daughter whose name was Zipporah. She bore him a couple of kids, and he worked there, stayed there 40 years, until all who had filled out the warrant for his arrest, till they had all died, and they had all drifted off of the scene. And then we know how the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him in the burning bush on the backside of the desert. And we remember how the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to send you back to bring my people out of Egypt. And we've studied all of that. We've done 3 series. By the way, if you'd like to have this series on a MP3, we can certainly provide that for you free of charge. Or any of the other things that we've done, by the way. We have many, many messages that are on video or MP3 that you're free to order. And some of our books that we've written that we give away constantly, such as Christian Problem Solving or Understanding Your Soul, all of these are available. And all you have to simply do is write to us. You can do it by email from our website, which is simply bigrick.org. That's bigrick.org. Or you can send us a letter by mail to P.O. Box 100. And that is in the city of Cropwell, Alabama, C-R-O-P-W-E-L-L, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. So all you got to do is write or email and say, I'd like to have some more messages. I'd like to have the DVDs or the MP3s or some of the books, and we'll get them to you. If God is using this show and you're learning something and you'd like to learn more, just contact us. There will be no further follow-up from us. We won't dun you or bill you. We just simply will send you the information. But getting back to Moses now, and we know how Moses was called out of the desert. And we have seen how Moses went back, and we know about the Exodus. We've studied all of that, and we got to the first really big test outside of Egypt. And that was the test of the Red Sea. And we saw that in Exodus chapter 13, when Moses led them out of Egypt and made the strategic decision to avoid going into the Philistine territory because he knew that those recently released slaves would be unwilling to fight a war fresh out of Egypt. And we saw that in Exodus chapter 14 how Pharaoh got hot on their trail. In Exodus 14:5, when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was told that the people had fled, he and his officials changed their mind about them. You remember they decided to let them go after all of their firstborn cattle and children died in the Passover. But now he's changed his mind in his bitterness. He's decided to go after him. So in verse 6 of Exodus 14, Pharaoh prepares a chariot, and he takes his army with him, and he takes 600 of his best chariots, as well as all the other chariots in Egypt. That's his entire mechanized infantry. He's got them all of his officers. And this is how God is going to wipe out completely the military defense of Egypt in this scenario. And they came after Moses, and they were hot on his trail. And here's the problem. You have the Red Sea in front of 2 million Jews that have come out of Egypt, 600,000 men, family, women, and children, and a few camp followers. And you have Pharaoh coming up from behind with all of his chariots, all of his officer corps, all of his mechanized infantry, and they're hot after him. And so Moses gives the commandment. The Israelites, when they realized they were trapped, Moses gave the commandment to stand still in verse 13. Listen to what he says in chapter 14, verse 13. Do not be afraid. Stand still and watch what God will do for you today. Now, that's an amazing concept. And there were two key doctrines that came out of this. The first key doctrine was the doctrine of fear. And we did quite a thorough study on that. We saw that fear is a representative emotional sin. And this is a key thought for all of us to remember, that about 90% of our sinning is done in our mind. About 90% of our sins are emotional sins, sins of the mind, mental attitude sins. And it is entirely possible for you to sin and never get out of your easy chair. It's entirely possible for you to sin in the driver's seat of your car or sitting on the couch at your home. Because sin that occurs in the mind can be anything from worry to anger to fear to vindictive thinking, even to bitterness and implacability. And so these mental attitude sins are the dangerous sins. And here it is, the fear sin, representative emotional sin. So if you're afraid, you're sinning. Remember this, fear is a sin. That's the fear that possesses you. That's the fear that manipulates you and controls you. It's a symptom of assuming an unassigned responsibility. You see, fear eliminates your personal sense of destiny. You think you're all out there alone and God's not there with you, and you get afraid and you see a problem and you fall apart. And the solution might be right there, but you put your eyes on the problem and not on the solution. So today you worry about one thing, and tomorrow you worry about two things, and then three things, and before you know it, fear has robbed your identity from you through this irrational sort of thinking. So the more that fear increases, the more you become insecure, and the more your capacity for living and enjoying life is destroyed. We've been through all of this on the radio show, but I want to review it with you. The more things that acquire the power to promote fear in your life, the more self-induced misery you have. That's right, self-induced misery. About 90% of that suffering, as well as 90% of those sins, About 90% of that suffering comes from self-induced misery, where we either mismanage our spiritual life, we mismanage our finances, we mismanage our health, we mismanage our personal relationships. That's always self-induced misery. So as you let fear into your life and you let fear control your life, then your capacity to enjoy life is gone. And the more things that acquire the power to promote fear in your life, the more self-induced misery you have in your life. And so we saw how fear, as an emotional sin, is always irrational and is always irresponsible. So when you let the emotional sins control your soul, that results in emotions dominating you. And if emotions are dominating you, then thinking is put in the back porch, outside. But the Bible, this is the interesting thing, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So when God wants to look at you, he's not looking at any emotional experience you may have. He's looking at what you're thinking. And what does God want to see in your mind? He wants to see you occupied with Christ. He wants to see you thinking divine viewpoint. And that's why the Bible clearly says, let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus. And so we saw that fear is the key that unlocks the door. And then out of that door comes arrogant preoccupation with yourself. And this results in you shutting down all normal thinking and replacing that normal thinking with anxiety and despondency. That's what fear will do to you. By the way, the fear of death won't prevent you from dying, but it'll certainly stop you from living. So he said, stand still. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see what God is about to do for you. Stand still is another doctrine that we have to look at. It's a phenomenal concept found in the Bible, and it's called the faith rest drill. This is one of the 10 problem-solving devices. And if you will allow me, I'd like to discuss the faith rest drill just a little bit with you today. Faith rest drill is, as I said, one of the 10 problem-solving devices, and you should, or if not, I hope you will learn what they are. The first problem-solving device, because, by the way, that's what this show is based on, learning these 10 problem-solving devices and using them as you execute the unique spiritual life that God has designed for you in eternity past. So that first problem-solving device is always rebound. And you say, well, what problem does that solve? It solves the problem of sin. Because we all sin. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so when we rebound, we use 1 John 1:9 or Psalm 32, 4 and 5. But this is when we confess our sin to God. You cannot be in fellowship with God if you have unconfessed sin in your life. And some people say, well, I can't keep up with every sin that I do. Well, that's true. No one can. But the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There probably are some you don't remember. But if you will at least tell God the sins you are aware of, then God will even cleanse you from the ones that you don't remember. That's the wonderful thing about the grace of God. But without rebound, without you dealing with your sin, you can never have problem-solving device number two, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, sin quenches the Holy Spirit, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. And so if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're not filled with the Spirit. You may be indwelled by the Spirit and sealed with the Spirit. You are not filled with the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit. This means he can't do his job. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back for a specific reason. That reason is to teach you things and reveal to you things. And that's our direct connection to God through the Holy Spirit. So when we quench the Holy Spirit in our life and grieve him, then he cannot mentor us. He cannot tutor us. He cannot guide us. And that's what unconfessed sin in your life will do. So we have rebound, problem-solving device number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, and the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number three. The faith rest drill, and this is where we're going to come back and look at this. Problem-solving device number four, well, that's grace orientation. That's you orienting to the grace of God in your life. For example, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's a gift of God, and so there is saving grace. And just as there's saving grace, there's living grace. That is, that Jesus Christ controls everything on this planet, according to Colossians. For by him and through him and for him were all things made. He gives us grace every day. It's grace that you took a breath this morning. It's grace that you have food on the table. It's grace that you are a free American. You have transportation. You have provision. It's all the grace of God. That's living grace. And then there is even wonderful dying grace. And dying grace is when you come to that point in your life where it's time for you to be called to the home office. It's time for you to make the promotion face to face with the Lord. Then there's no more tear and there's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. It is the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. It's like throwing the rabbit in the briar bush. It's exactly what you want because you're out of here and no more suffering, no more pain. And you're waiting that resurrection body. That's dying grace. And there's even surpassing grace in heaven where the eye has not seen, the ear hasn't heard the phenomenal things that God has for you. So grace orientation orients you to thinking the right way. And then there's doctrinal orientation or biblical orientation. That's orienting everything to divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint. Seeing it as God sees it. And the only way you can do that is to take the Word of God and learn it by a developing in your life momentum. And momentum, our Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 11:27-28, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and who keep it. Momentum is you hearing God's word on a consistent basis and you keeping what you hear. This identifies you as a person that is different. You see, some people know God, but they don't understand God. Jeremiah talked about that in Jeremiah chapter 9, knowing or understanding. And by having momentum in your life, not only did you come to know God through Jesus Christ, but then you come to understand the God that you know. And so, by developing doctrinal orientation, this gives you a personal sense of destiny. That's your sixth problem-solving device. Now you know God has a plan for you. Now you're ready to walk through that door and leave your agenda behind. And you're ready to say, I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's a wonderful thing to take the monkey off of your back and realize that God is in charge of your destiny. So once we hit that personal sense of destiny, then we begin to use and are motivated by our tremendous love for God. And love for God is the one thing that motivates us. Excuse me. The one thing that motivates us to be the men or the women that we should be. Because the Bible says in 1 John 5, if you love me, obey me, and my mandates are not hard. So personal love for God is our motivation to obey God. So we have personal love for God that is reciprocal because we're loving God. Why? Because he first loved us, the Bible says. But then we have impersonal love for others. And I guess I need to spend some time in that area eventually. But impersonal love for others is you loving other people, not based on who they are, but based on what they are. They are God's children. They are God's family. And you are able to love them in spite of their flaws and their failures. You're able to keep a relaxed mental attitude in regards to them, even if they don't agree with you. You never abandon them. You never turn your back on them. You are comfortable with them. And that's impersonal love. And then there is, on top of that, the great sharing the happiness of God, or plus H. And this is you having the great happiness that our Lord Jesus Christ had in spite of the adversity. And then there's occupation with Christ. And that is you assuming the mind of Christ and representing Christ to your friends. As you assume his humility profile, as you identify with Christ, when they see you, they see Christ. Those are the 10 problem-solving devices. And the faith rest drill is the third one. It's just one of them. But it operates under the filling of the Holy Spirit. So if there is no filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, then there can be no faith rest drill, problem-solving device number three. So the beginning of the faith rest drill is for you to believe God when he makes a promise to you. And that's what Moses was telling him. God said he would bring you out. God said he would take you through. So stand still, trust him, and watch what he does. Listen to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path smooth. Listen to Psalm 37:5. Entrust your ways to the Lord. Trust him, and he will act on your behalf. That is exactly what was about to happen for these Jews. Pharaoh and his vindictive army of vengeance was about to be destroyed in the Red Sea, and God would deliver them. You see, the faith rest drill has a far greater implication than just mixing the promises of God with faith. There's more to it than that. The faith rest drill requires you knowing some promises, all right? If you don't know the promises, then you can't execute the faith rest drill. And by the way, the last count that someone told me, there were over 7,000 promises in the Bible. So this is like a bank account with your name in it. And all of these promises are for you. But when you claim these promises, when you live the faith rest drill, a lot of things happen. Listen to Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay down in peace and sleep for you. Excuse me, I'm going to back that up. I will lay down in peace and sleep, comma, for you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I'm sorry I mixed that up, but I didn't have my comma there. Here it is again. Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Three things there. I will sleep, I will rest, and I will be safe. You know, sometimes I talk to people that don't get much sleep because they worry. They don't get much rest. And they don't feel safe. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no reason for you not to have a good night's sleep. There's no reason for you not to be rested and to feel safe. So I don't care what's going on in your life. If you learn the provisions and the promises given in the Bible and execute the faith rest drill, whatever your enemy is, whoever's pursuing you, the justice of God can handle it. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. What are afflictions? Those are the trials that we go through, but we are delivered. How are we delivered? In Psalm 55, 22. Cast all your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. That's the faith rest drill. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Instead of carrying your burdens, turn them over to the Lord and walk away from them. How do you do that? Well, number one, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, you've learned some promises. So you take this verse, and through the filling of the Holy Spirit, you take this verse and you say, I am claiming this verse, God. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. It's driving me nuts. I'm laying it at your altar and I'm walking away from it. And he will handle it. Now, the function of the faith rest drill is to provide some cohesion in your life, to coordinate your spiritual life, and to give you the ability for divine support and direction in your life. You have a choice. Anytime you go through any adversity or prosperity for that matter, it could be worse. Some of you are praying to win the lottery. That would be the worst thing that ever happened to you because that would destroy you quicker than adversity. Prosperity is a much greater test than adversity. And I know you're saying, well, I could handle the prosperity test. Right. Right. You just think you could. And God knows what you can handle and what you cannot handle. You have a choice every time anything happens, whether it's adversity or prosperity. And the choice could deliver you from these things that might be detrimental. So the faith rest drill includes three steps. You need to remember this. Number one, you've got to know those promises of God. You have to have some promises, and you have to mix those promises with faith. And so if God says this, then I will do this. That's the number one thing. And then the number two thing, once you claim a promise, then you step back away from it and you look at some sort of biblical rationale. And you may say, what do you mean by that? I mean the fundamental reason or the reasons why these things happen. For example, the essence of God. If God is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, so he knew about this in eternity past, he can make it go away, and he's here with me right now while I'm experiencing it. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. See, when you have these biblical rationales in your soul, and you understand the basic fundamental reason of why things happen, then you don't worry, because you know that Jesus Christ controls history, and God's got it all under control. So the first thing you do in the faith rest drill is mix the promise with faith. Then you step back and apply that biblical rationale, and then you execute. You do it from humility and integrity. You do what God says. Wait. Step back. Watch what I'm about to do. You don't run around like a chicken with your head cut off or like a dog with his tail wagging. Stand still, Moses said, and watch God. That is the faith rest drill. You see, God is perfect, and his plan is perfect, and he will never make any mistakes in regards to you or anyone around you. So when you use the faith rest drill, you have rest. You don't have to carry the burden anymore. God will carry the burden for you. He will protect you. He will watch out for you. He will stand guard over you. So rest, relax, and let him handle the difficulty. But if you fail to claim God's promises, you will build up stress in your soul. And that stress will make you forgetful. It'll even impair your memory, because you will be full of worry and you'll be full of fear. And you will lose your perception of reality because of that stress. And if you stay in stress long enough, you wind up psychotic with psychoses. But if you will just simply mix the promises of God with faith, you could be stabilized. And you can think under pressure. And not be confused. You see, for a new believer, learning the promises of God, that's the greatest thing he could ever do, because that helps him to live and execute the Christian life. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And how, just exactly how, does my faith grow? How can I get more faith? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the words of Christ, or the message that is heard, is what Christ spoke. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Bible is the mind of Christ. And so as we learn God's word, then we're learning the thinking that Christ thought. And as we apply it into our life, as we keep it, then we begin to metabolize it, and we begin to execute the faith rest drill. Stand still. And watch God deliver you. That is the faith rest drill. And it is a phenomenal way to live. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flightline.
Thank you for listening to The Flightline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.